Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be preaching a sermon from the book of Corinthians with a message entitled, Unearthly Confidence. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Reading the entire chapter. Paul writes, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I wish to speak with you about unearthly confidence. I suspect each of us have encountered a put-on confidence, a boldness which is easy to see through. It is fabricated, it is plotted and planned, and it is very definitely of man and of this world. Paul, he knew of those things. But he speaks to the Corinthians, who, as we have said previously, had often maligned and disregarded his authority. He speaks to them with boldness and with confidence and as one who is adequate for the task of so speaking to them. But he underscores how it is that these things come about, that it is not of this world, that it is not of man's doing, but that it is truly of God. In this passage, in this chapter 3 of his second letter, Paul speaks on three themes. He speaks of confidence, he speaks of adequacy, and he speaks of glory. Each of these, what we find in Christ and what we find not simply in meager supply, in just getting by type of supply, but we find it in abundance. Let's begin at the beginning. Paul asks the question, as he is continuing to seek to unravel and to make his way through various difficulties, and he not only is making his way through singular difficulties that they might be dealt with once, but Paul is also weaving into the fabric of these believers in Corinth. He is weaving into them principles whereby when other challenges come along, that there might be a, yes, this ties in over there as well. This principle that the apostle gave us regarding that particular matter, it applies here as well. The apostle Paul, he begins, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Do we need to do that? The apostle says, no, of course not, because we have an intimate relationship one with another. We have known one another. It was I who brought the gospel to you and who ministered over many months to you. We do not need to act as though we are strangers, as though we are aliens and foreigners, that we are speaking a different language. Paul, first of all, speaks to them. He declares confidence in verse 4, but even before that, in verses 1, 2, and 3, he speaks as one who indeed was confident, asking the question, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? Paul says, look, you are the letters. We don't need it written on the page. You are living, breathing. You are letters that have been written in our hearts. And we not only know you ourselves, but you are known and read by others, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ. We care for you, and you have cared for us. Not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. A few moments ago, we read out of Exodus 34. And there we considered how that Moses, after having first been up on Mount Sinai and having received the two tablets of stone, the Lord said, Moses, you need to get down among your people. They have abandoned me. They have gone and they have worshipped a golden calf. Moses comes down with Joshua and they see what is going on. Moses throws the stone tablets down and they are smashed. Moses is commanded by God to cut himself two more stone tablets and to appear before God that God might give those written commandments once again. Written with the very finger of God. But Paul, he says, God in Corinth did not write upon tablets of stone, but rather on tablets of fleshly hearts. For those of you who have had the privilege of traveling in countries such as what circle the Mediterranean world, you find all kinds of inscriptions. And so it was in Corinth and Athens to the north, and everywhere you went, inscriptions. Just as the Apostle Paul, when he came to Athens, he found one altar with the inscription, "To the unknown God." But here, Paul says, there's something very different taking place. God is not simply wanting to etch upon stone. He is wanting to etch His very person upon your hearts. Confidence. And Paul in verse 4 says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. It all happens through and by and in Christ. All of our hope, all of our confidence. And the Apostle Paul, he got that. He got that. That though he was talented, though he was educated, though he was connected, though he had so much in this world that he could have bragged about, he set all of that aside. And he realized that both for himself and for all of us, that our confidence is not in ourselves. It is not because of ourselves. It is through Christ toward God. And Paul says exactly that in verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Our adequacy is from God. Our confidence is in Christ, and our adequacy is from God. Paul, he understood as he begins his letters that he was both an apostle, that is, a sent one, and he was a bond servant. He was one who was under orders. And so Paul, he says, my confidence, my adequacy is not in myself. It is because of who has sent me, and it is because of whose I am. Read in Acts chapter 27 of how that Paul, as he was on the storm-tossed Mediterranean, and the ship, everyone thought that they were surely going down for the last time. Paul says, I believe God. Earlier he had said, I am a servant of this God who has spoken to me, and I believe that what He has said He will do. Here, Paul, he says, my confidence is in Christ, and my adequacy is from God. He has made us adequate, verse 6, of a new covenant, not of the letter engraved upon stone, but of the Spirit. For he says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When the Apostle Paul would write to the church in Rome, he would say to them, I did not know sin. I did not know what adultery and covetousness and theft was. I did not know what it was to dishonor my parents until the commandment came. And the commandment stood up and slew me. You see, the letter kills. We realize who we are, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. For we read in the law that we are guilty before God. But the Spirit comes, and the Spirit does a transforming work that even the dead might live. Paul continues, if the ministry of death, that was the way in which Paul, though he honors the law, and he says, is the law sin? Was it a mistake that the law be given? He says, by no means, I would never speak in such a way. but he describes the law's coming as the ministry of death. In letters engraved on stones, it came with glory. If we were to go back and to stand there among the Israelites who heard the sound of the trumpet blast, and they saw the lightning and they saw the dark cloud that descended upon Mount Sinai, and they heard the command that if even an animal was to approach the mountain, it was to be stoned. There was a glory, there was an awesome experience like no other there at Mount Sinai. And the Apostle Paul says, if that giving of the law, which in turn resulted in the death of each and every one of us, if that came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading, albeit as it was, he says, how much more will the glory of the Spirit be, which works life within us? Verse 9. If the ministry of condemnation has glory, how much more the ministry of righteousness abound in glory? I'm sure that if we were to go back to Mount Sinai and we were to stand there and to hear the rumbling and all that took place, and then to fast forward about 1,500 years to Calvary's cross, and we were to witness there the grisly crucifixion of three individuals and all that took place, the scoffing of the religious leadership, the gambling of the soldiers, completely careless as to what was going on, except for the centurion who declared, "Surely this man was the Son of God." If we were to compare those two with our physical senses, we would surely say that the giving of the law, that is, the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation, surely that was with greater glory. But if we stop looking with the eyes of our physical heads, and we start looking with the eyes of faith to what God was doing, both at Sinai and subsequently at Calvary, we would see that that which might appear to be a defeat surpasses in glory by ever so far. Verse 9, if the ministry of condemnation has glory, which it did, sure, much more the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what had glory, in this case, really it has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. So very much more. Verse 11, if that which fades away was with glory, how much more that which remains is indeed glorious. Paul, he's saying there's no comparison whatsoever. Back in Hebrews, if we keep going farther in the New Testament and we come to Hebrews, which makes the comparison for those who had come to Christ and were thinking, maybe we should go back to Judaism, maybe we misdirected, maybe we misunderstood. And they are thinking back to the glory of the law and to the Old Testament. And this walking with Christ, it's difficult, it's hard. We've lost friends, we've lost job opportunities, we've lost the goods of this world. Maybe maybe we should turn back. And the writer to the Hebrews says, you got to be kidding. There's no comparison whatsoever between the old covenant and that which we have entered into and its riches, albeit some of the payment, much of the payment yet to come. Verse 12, once again, tracking with the three themes of confidence. Paul, confident because of God having made him so. Paul declaring our adequacy to stand before Christ and to be His emissaries, to be His messengers, not because we have scraped it up and that we have prepared ourselves, but because God has made us adequate. Because Christ has died in our place and He has been the substitute to make us who we are. And glory such as what we could never imagine. Paul writes in verse 12, therefore, having such a hope, he comes back to the theme of confidence and says, we use great boldness in our speech. The Apostle Paul was not one to back down. He was not one to be shy about what he had to say. For he had walked the path of Judaism. He had walked the path whereby he had found no peace in his heart, no joy. But he says, now, this hope that we have, it is something that works boldness in our speech. And we're not like Moses. Now, Moses also was strong at times. But Paul says we're not like Moses, who used to take a veil to put it over his face, because the sons of Israel, they would look at him and they might see that the glory was fading, that it was not a permanent installment in his life. As he went in before the Lord, once again his face would shine. But as he was at a distance from the Lord, that glory would fade. And Paul speaks of how that even in the first century, in his day, that there was a veil over the minds and over the hearts of the Jewish people who did not understand that Moses, as Paul writes to the Galatians, that Moses in the law was giving a tutor which would lead the people to Christ, who would be their Redeemer, who would be their Savior. Paul says even to this day, that veil lies over their heart when Moses is read. Paul says in verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is a delight in the things of God. But most especially, verse 18, we all with veiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, Paul is saying, with the eyes of faith, we see greater glory than this world could ever demonstrate. I think of ancient Corinth. The glory of that city is demonstrated even in the ruins and throughout so much of Greece and the ancient world. The glory of those great cities was incredible. The temples of the Roman and the Greek pantheons, it was incredible. The marble, so carefully cut and crafted and placed, incredible in every way. But Paul says, if you want to see glory, don't look down the street of Corinth, and don't go to Ephesus or Athens or Philippi or any other place. Look in the mirror and behold the glory of God, who is transforming you. Paul uses here the word transformed in verse 18. He says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image." After Jesus was raised from the dead, the disciples didn't recognize him. The two on the Emmaus Road, they didn't know who was walking with him those few miles. At other times, there needed to be eyes opened. Mary, by the tomb, she thought that the man standing before her was the gardener. There was a transformation that had been made in the life of a believer as well. There is a transformation into the same image of Christ. No, we don't become divine. We do not become angelic, but we become all that we possibly can be. And it's just as though there is a transformation from glory to glory. And it is God who works this. And Paul, his delight is in this unearthly confidence that even these men and women who had come to Christ, who yet lived in the ancient world's sin city, that they were able to show forth the praises of God, that they were able to walk before the Lord in confidence, adequate, for God had made them so, and they were able to share the glory of God and all that He had done and was doing in them. Lord, we give You thanks and praise for how You work in each and every one of us. And we rejoice that whereby previously there was no confidence, You are able to make us confident in Christ. Whereas we previously were utterly inadequate, we find that our adequacy is of God, and we can walk confidently before You. And Lord, whereas before our lives were of no distinction, as we come before You, there is a glory, not simply of Your person, but there is a glory that is being little by little infused into us, and there is a transformation that is taking place. Lord, we praise You and we thank You and we rejoice in all of Your goodness and in all of Your work on our behalf. So continue and accelerate, O God, and be praised, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. We are pleased to announce a brand new music CD of 13 gospel songs under the title, Till the Storm Passes By. You will greatly enjoy hearing these solo and duets from both older, well-known songs like Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and newer songs like The Power of Your Love. Ask for your copy of this new CD, Till the Storm Passes by either calling us at 1-833-367-3852 or write us at Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. This new CD is sent free and postage paid and is yours simply upon your request. We leave you now with the benediction of the Apostle Peter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior.